And you might like to turn in your Bible to the Gospel of Matthew and chapter 11. And perhaps we can take a moment and look to the Lord and our Father in God. Help us in every way. Thank you very much. Your word, your glory, your honor. God, here we are. So thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our effort this morning of taking a moment in the light of looking ahead into the tomorrow and the future and what lies ahead, we don't know what lies ahead, but God does. So, but we know what lies ahead a little bit. So, God has to work it all out, and it is in order and timely that we roll up our sleeves and make sure we're able to get through the hours that lie ahead all the way till he comes. So, and we have to be no more, we can't be just churchgoers and sit in a pew and do what we do and do the normal things that churchgoers do. But they don't grow and they don't know, and that's not good. So in the process, we share together, and just not just to remind ourselves, but me, the gospel, and the gospel is the good news. The good news is that Christ died, was buried, and rose again according to the scriptures. The good news is that God has done a wonderful thing, and the New Testament, the book of Romans, and the epistles are there to help us understand the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And they're there. So you want to know what the gospel means? You have to understand Romans, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You want to understand it so you can exercise the good news. And the good news has to do with Christ died for us, as you know. He took and terminated everything that Adam got us into with our old sin nature. He terminated it. He terminated it from the day you were born to the day you die. He covered all the bases. So there's no minute in your life that can louse, if you're saved, that can louse up being saved. Because he died for every single moment, covered all the bases for your sin. He died and buried. Now, if we stop there, we have forgiveness, as we shared, and we have pardon, and we're set free, and God, I haven't got the good news yet. Unless I what? Christ died, was buried, and rose again. I need 1, 2, 3. Otherwise, I don't have good news. If I just understand he died for me and took my sin, that good news is not sufficient to help me. I've got to have the good news as God gave it and meant it to be. Therefore, I want to be on the right side of the cross burial. I don't want to be on the wrong side of the resurrection. I want to be on the right side of the resurrection. And that's where power is. That's where the life is. If I don't get to the other side of the resurrection, I may be a believer. But boy, I'm not sure I'm not going to be enjoying life. Why? I don't have it. I can't have it without being in the right side of the resurrection. What's the side of the resurrection? When you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And that's what you did. You believed that he gave you a relationship to his wonderful person. And that's what we mumbled through this morning. You're a new creature in Christ. All things have passed away. Everything has become new. That is for real. Awesomely real. Now you can think whatever you want. It doesn't matter what you think. Because it is so. It is so. Period. That's what he did. So, we either are going to begin to catch it, or just turn the page and go to something else. And we're quite content in what we're doing as so-called Christians. So, we have to have that, and we share together that with the relationships are all involved in oneness. Oneness, a unique oneness. A oneness that you have in your body. Your head enjoys a oneness to your body. You, inside of this body isn't you. So don't get mixed up about bodies. God said, don't do it. The body isn't the issue. Well, the body. Don't get caught up in it. Don't do that. So what? God, what are we going to do? You live inside your body. And you and your body houses you. And you live inside your body. Inside is a person. You have an awesome oneness. Because if we hunt for you and we take off your hand, you're still there. And if we take off your foot, you're still there. If we do whatever, you're still there. Well, where are you? Well, we'll stop you, have your heart stop and call the mortuary. And then we can't find you. We can't find you anymore, no matter what we did, because you have a unique oneness, and that we share together, the vine and the branch, your God's cultivated field, and God's garden, in God's court, in God's house. God has his own personal garden, like the Garden of Eden in heaven. The Garden of Eden was on earth. The Garden of Eden is up there in some form, fashion. That's where Lucifer, son of the morning, that's where Satan lived, dwelt up there. A wonderful thing. So, and we have to understand that. So God gave us a unique oneness, oneness, oneness. And God gave us the cultivated ground. God gave us his word, which is good seed. Good seed. His words that I speak unto you. John 6. Life, spirit, and life. Every little seed, every words, they're pregnant with meaning. Why? Because the words that I speak unto you are all about who you are, God. That's right. You want to learn of me? My words will help you understand who I am. And then the words begin to grow and pop out of the pages and become valuable to me because I'm understanding how I may not understand everything in Ezekiel or anything else. But as I read Leviticus and Numbers and Ezekiel, whatever, I have a sense of God. I may not understand very much at a given point, but I have a sense of God. I'm learning to respect God. And I'm learning that. That's what I need to learn and understand so that I'm enjoying growing and knowing. And so the sheep, our Lord Jesus said it to Peter and made it very clear. I want you to feed my sheep. And he said it in John 21 three times. Feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. We need to be fed. That's why you go to the Word of God. You want to handle your hard things in life, you want to look at it from God's point of view. We see things from our point of view. And all of that can be very difficult. But I got to back off. Rule of thumb, don't hold anything too tight. Don't hold anyone too tight. There's nothing that tight. Because if you do that, you don't see God's will. You're so hanging on to something that you don't see God's will. God knows what to do, when to do, and how to do. Therefore, handle every day, every hour with an open hand. Hold, be responsible, do everything you can, the best way you can, but don't hold it too tight so that God can move it without you falling apart. That's the key. Can I do it and you won't fall apart? Don't think of John and Matthew and all that. The Lord Jesus said to his disciples, "Are you offended because of what I do and how I do it?" Don't be offended by what I do and what I don't do. Don't be offended. You're learning to trust God. Now, having said that, and keeping all of that, and here we are looking in Matthew chapter 11, just to remind ourselves. And when we do that, what are we going to do? We're going to grow, and we come to know the Lord as our Savior, and we're new creatures in Christ. Every single person that has believed and received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior is truly, truly saved. Just simply because they've received Christ as their Savior, they have to be saved. And therefore being saved, they have they're a new creature. They have everything, everyone else. There's no believers that are different. The same Christ, same God, same salvation, same everything is over there in India, South America, and here. Always. There's no difference. No difference. Nope. Nope. Same God. Same God doing the same thing. To whosoever is, that's us. So, in verse we share together in verse 29, to remind ourselves, the Lord Jesus said, you're going to have to grow up and learn. That's what you're doing. Like we shared, little kid, little boy, little whatever, they got to grow. They have everything. The parents are there to provide and be everything to them. But the little boy and girl has to grow up and learn of all the benefits it has when it's little. It already has them. It already has them. You may not know the answers yet to some mathematical thing, but your parents do, you see. The parents know. And that makes you know. Because everything you need is inbound in that relationship of oneness. And so you enjoy that benefit. Now, having said that, take my yoke upon you, verse 29, as you know, and learn of me. We shared all these things. And the word learn, to get your experience, to bring to being, literally, learn, to bring into your experience. Bring it into your experience. Well, I don't experience that. But then you don't know any benefit. You need to bring it into your experience. So I have to be growing and knowing and learning little inch by inch. And in the college of hard knocks and hard things, you learn. That's how you learn. How you learn. How could you be a good soldier in a war if you went in the first battle and all these things happened? Said, well, it's terrible. Sure it is. It's awful. But boy, you got to roll up your sleeves. Then go out again tomorrow and the next day. And that's how you learn. That's how you grow. And you become a good soldier. You become a veteran. You become somebody that can handle the battle. The battle's real. The cost is real. But you got to undergo to learn it. It doesn't come cheap to be a good student. You got to pay a price to do it. So, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your soul. Think of the yoke. Your head's, Christ is under one part of it. Your head's under the other. And you say, oh boy, that yoke is heavy. And it is. I told you, I have one across the street. Big yoke. Yep, from the farm. I got it. Boy, that's heavy. You want that around your neck? Uh-huh. But you're not a ox or a cow or something. You're a human. That's a yoke. Take my yoke. Not your yoke. My yoke. My yoke is to outwork the will of God for the glory of God. So put your head as a student under that yoke. I'm moving. As my Father sent me, John 17:18, so send I you. I'm sending you the same way as I was sent. You represent me. So you're on the one side, I'm on the other side. I'm going to take you down the corridor of time, and you're going to go down, and God's going to bless the heart as you go down the corridor looking to God. So, and you're going to learn. And verse 30, you're very, very, very much encouraged to do so, because God is the Spirit of God, is the teacher of all teachers. And the Spirit of God loves you and seeks to teach you. He wants you to learn. Therefore, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You'll enjoy the class. It'll be hard, and you're going to hit your nose and have difficult things, but you just go through it. I'm going to help you through it. And as you look at him, God, you must be, but you're smiling, God. Psalm 25, Psalm 31, etc. My times are in your hands, God. And there you are looking at me, smiling. Mm-hmm. Hang in there. You aren't sad that what I just went through? No. No. Shouldn't you be sad, God? No. I'm not sad. There was no problem. You see the problem. I see the problem, I should say. But you don't have a problem, God. No, not at all. Not at all. I have a wonderful thing that I'm doing with you. So why don't you just enjoy the yoke and stay in there and grow and know. That's the only way you're going to survive. You have to have out in the street, at work, at school, and in the assembly. You have to have a real, vital relationship to who I am, for real. Not just a religious thing, and not just a Sunday thing, and not just when it's convenient. You need to have it for real. You and I, said God, have a oneness. I made you a new creature in Christ. You have a unique relationship to me, the vine and the branch, as we shared together. As we put together, you have that relationship. I want you to practice it. It's for real. But then you don't know. Then all you got's this. Dead. All you got. Oh God, help me. God said, boy, you do need help. You see, you need help. So, having said that and keeping that in mind, so God, what are we going to do? So you got to deal with our heads and heart and help us in every way. And over to John chapter 6. And in John chapter 6, what are we going to do? We're going to understand we have to feed my sheep. Now, God, what are we going to do with your word? We're going to learn how to devour, how to assimilate, how to get your word, living words, the seeds, into the cultivated ground, into the heart. The heart is going to receive them. Matthew 13, etc. Good ground. Good ground. Cultivated, tilled ground is made for this. I'm going to put the seeds in it. If it's full of thorns and weeds, it ain't going to go very good. God, I heard your word today. I read it. But my heart is so full of every dumb thing in the world. It has no, the seed can't go. But I read. What I read, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But that can't go anywhere. Why can't it go anywhere? Because my heart's so full of other things. So I can't do it. I don't have it. But God said you want to have a good cultivated ground and get rid of all that dumb stuff. Confess it to God and look to God to deal with your head and heart so that God can do and do a wonderful thing and bring, he's going to give you his word and the word is going to break forth into life. John chapter 6, and you remember, here's the Pharisees, etc. Chapter 6, going up, verse 28, then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? They wanted to be able to have some of those wonderful benefits that God had in Christ. Verse 29, Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe, singular, on him that has who is sent. In other words, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and what are you going to do, God? I want to do a wonderful thing if you believe. You're trying to do it all by your lonesome. And, not jump ahead, hang on, sliding down. You know, can't do it by your lonesome. And, so when you come down to the context, God reminds them of Moses, etc. And verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. You'll never hunger and never thirst. Or what? You got to believe in me. What's believing do? I'm believing. You're believing in the pew. You let the pew be the pew. You're letting the God be God. You're letting the dentist be the dentist. You're looking to God to do what he does in his most wonderful, wonderful way. And God, what are you going to do? God said, I am the bread. I am the bread. I am the water. Now, we know what bread and water is in the natural. God said, I am the bread. Over to verse, overview it, in John chapter 6, 50, John chapter 6, verse 48. I am that bread of life. The fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. That bread didn't do very good. This is that bread that which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I want you to eat bread. I am the bread. I'm the life. I want you to exercise your relationship to me in a very, as you are assimilating the gospel, the good news. Christ died, was buried, rose again. Take the good news in. The good news overrides all other news. There's nothing in your life that'll ever, ever be there that the gospel doesn't tell you good news over anything and everything in your life. It's good news. Always good news. Always. It can't be. It is. It's always good news. You're counting on something here and now. And I have taken here and now to Calvary's cross. I've made you a new creature in Christ. I want to be able to bring out of you that which is yours now. That's what I want you to grow and know. So, and thus in John chapter 6, picking up, just sliding down, you see it. Can't miss it. Verse 50. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. Verse 51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give him is my flesh, which I'm going to die on the cross and take him to the cross. Scripture, he died, was buried, rose again. At the end of verse 51. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? They understood what he said, but they didn't understand it. God was telling you about another relationship. They didn't have it. So when you read all that, say, boy, doesn't make sense, because you have to have a relationship to God. Therefore, in verse 53, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you, etc., etc. And you keep reading all the wonderful, wonderful things God, you're going to do. And you have to go and stay very much alive and well on planet Earth and looking for God's wonderful working. So God, we're just a branch. You're the vine. And we're to go and enjoy a unique, wonderful relationship to you. And in the process, that relationship is to be exercised. So you're going to we get food. We read, breathe thy word. And God, you're going to feed my heart inch by inch, day by day. And you have to say, and you don't want to go with the food and what you're doing and say, I don't like that food. No, I say, God, I'm not doing very good with that food. That's different. I don't like that food. I don't want to say that to anything, God. I want to let it get to me. And I'm not going to hide it. I remember someone years ago, and I think we just said it recently to remind ourselves, years ago, when they didn't like vegetables and stuff. Didn't like vegetables and stuff, you know all this. And did that, so we'd sit over here in this window, where the window is, where the table is, where Ray sits. And there used to be a table there. And we did all that. And if you turned away, the broccoli was all gone. Wow, is that good? Very good. But you look under the radiator right behind me, and there they were, all the food sitting there. I don't want to say that to God. God, I don't understand it, but God, I'm going to wait on you. I'm going to wait on you. Now, our time is gone. And we haven't got going, but you got a little bit. I'm trying to tell you, be real. Don't make believe. You're just a joke. You're a joke to God and a joke to the world. But the world is all right because it fits. You fit. You fit into the world. Everyone else is like you. You go to this church and that church and this place, and you're all the same. We don't have a lot of leaves. You're not going to go there. I'm going to go where the wood is. Why? Because I'm comfortable. I'm comfortable. And God, you're telling me what? I have to grow up. God said otherwise, your wood, hay, and stubble, that's what you're going to be put aside. And you'll lose out. You don't least to lose out. So therefore, God, the pew feeds the pulpit. The heart's need feeds the pulpit. And the pulpit meets the heart's need and goes both ways. But if the pew isn't interested in growing, God isn't going to bring anyone to you. You have to want to go and not be like, I don't want to fit in. I don't want to fit into the stupid system. I want to be saved from it and in it from it. And therefore, I have to be what? I don't want to be like this. I want to be like this. And therefore, God knows the difference. And if your heart is hungry to be a vine, connected a branch to the vine, a head to the body. If you want to be cultivated field, you want to be God's wonderful, wonderful prize, you want to be a child of God. That's what you want to be. God will do it. But boy, you have to have it. That's why we don't have many out there today. We don't have many men in the pulpit. Someone has said, many have said, Baptist even, dear Baptist, I remember, got them written down in different places, different down. They said the best thing that could happen to the church is all the men step out of the pulpit and start again. Because we're going by the system. And the system can't produce what God can. It just can't do it. There's no way. No way you can go to Podunk University and have what God can do. It just doesn't work. But we're trying. It's our system. God, leave it alone. It's our system. Therefore, I got to quit. It's time. Let me put together. I'll put together a different way. Over if I can. John chapter 15. I hope you got a little bit. I'm trying to just provoke you to understand. I would have never made it, dear friend, if I had to go by the dumb system. God saved me from the system. He saved me from it. I could have gone, I had all these different things going for me, and I thought I did, and that. And God, I had to see Henrietta Mears, I with a whole bunch of dear saints, heads of ministry, heads of Westminster Seminary and all of the different ones. I met with them, all different ones. I said, what's wrong? It doesn't make sense. God's telling me not to do it, not to get in it, to get out of it. Why would he tell me that? And I learned, if I had, I would just be a traditional Baptist, you see. But I'm not a Baptist. I'm just a simple little believer like you guys are, trying to enjoy exercising God's wonderful presence of why God died on the cross to save me and to save you. And that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Wow. Now, so therefore, John 15, do a little differently. I'm sorry I didn't do it better for you, but what can I tell you? John chapter 15. In other words, be real. Don't be some make-believe believer. I can see when look out, that person isn't very interested. They never look at their Bible. When they look, look down, look up, they're never looking. They never grow. Don't tell me you're growing. Come on. I'm not that stupid. You know. Where'd we go? Grow. Learn. You draw it in. God. Now. So it changes your life. So, John chapter 15. And picking up, if I may, in verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me. So you cannot, you're not able. Verse 4, you're not able to do the job of producing fruit. You need to be connected. Verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can, there's your little word again, able to do something. Do you have the power to be able to do nothing? So verse 4 says, it ain't going to work if you don't abide. Verse 5 says, you can't do anything if you don't abide. That's pretty simple. So therefore, God, we want to put that together. So God, help us. So now, having said that, and boy, do we got to cut it down. In the light of that, God is able to do exceeding abundant. Ephesians. That's the little word can. So we're going to cut it all in pieces down to you. Ephesians chapter 3. And you will note. Wow. Chapter 3, verse 20. Now unto him that is able, there's your little word can, able, power. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to what measure? According to the power. There's your little word, like enable, and there's the same word, power, the verb and the noun. And according to the power that worketh in us. So God, I can't. God said it isn't you. It's your attachment to the divine, your attachment to God, your oneness. God in you is your life. Feed on him. Feed, grow, understand, enjoy an ever-increasing relationship to God. And God will just plain old bless it. And you'll go through a whole lot of hard things because he wants you to grow. So it isn't some picnic, I can tell you that. You're not going to get it cheap. But God's going to do it, and he's gracious. And the quicker you learn of his grace, he doesn't have to twist my arm to get me to pay attention. You don't have to do some bad thing to me or something. No, I'm going to pay attention, God. And the quick as I can do it, God, you got my attention. Now, so therefore, you're above all that you can ask or think. Therefore, two places. You're getting the idea, I think. What can I tell you? What can I tell you? I wish I could just do it for myself and you and tell God, bring all that stuff into my little head and make me like the Apostle Paul. Get me up there to the third heaven, 2 Corinthians 12. Get me up to the third heaven, God, so I can see it all. And boy, then I'll be God. And God said, no, you won't. No, you won't. No, when I take you there, you can't come back. No. God said, I'm not going to take you there. I'm going to help you understand, though, how to enjoy being there. And so, therefore, we're going to walk together. Walk by faith and not by sight. In Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah and chapter 30. And you will note. Isaiah 30, going to verse 15. Isaiah 30, 15. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. And in quietness and confidence shall be your strength. Now, how can you beat that? In returning and rest, just come and I'll take care of you. And in quiet, don't make a big noise. I'm going to take care of you in quietness and confidence. But they wouldn't do it. The church basically will not do what we're trying to bug each other on. They will not do it. I'll bet you $1 million they won't do it. They've never done it. And we get hotter and hotter and hotter down the corridor of time. They aren't fixing anything. I wish they would. I wish they would. And the old fashioned Keswick promises and that kind of truth went bye-bye. Not yet, because we still think of it. We're still shooting for it. Yeah. So therefore, they would not, sliding down. So God, what are you going to do? Verse 18. And therefore, God, they aren't going to do anything. They're going to go in the other direction, the Assyrian captivity, etc. And verse 18. And therefore will the Lord wait. Why? That he may be gracious unto you. And therefore will he be exalted when he can be gracious to you, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. He's going to wait for me to catch up. He's waiting for us to catch up. He's waiting. Otherwise, he's waiting for us to catch up. He's waiting. Now, God, I'll do it. I'm going to leave, and I want to see a big thing in my life. Now, you may see nothing. What are you learning? You wait on God's waiting. You wait. God's waiting for you to get it. There's no way for me to get you into the geometry problem without starting back here and getting you there. So you have to allow time for me to grow, God. God said, I'm going to wait for you. And while you wait and be patient with yourself, be patient with God as you wait and wait. That's what I want. Don't get impatient. In the light of that, Psalm 81. And in Psalm 81, wonderful psalm, 5,000 times we look at it. If I may, you know what? You can probably quote it. Psalm 81, picking up, please, in the context, verse 10, 81:10. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Like the little, Shannon, the little birds, they can't get out, they can't fly, they can't do anything. The little birds just sit and wait for the mother and father birdies to come back with some food. And all they can do, and boy they do, if you ever little seen pictures of them, they're busy opening their mouth, and the mother just shoves the stuff in, you know, just shoves it in. Look, what do you say? I want you to be sitting there. I'm going to fill your heart. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. Don't be like in Isaiah 30, and you wouldn't do some simple thing in returning in rest and confidence and quietness. You wouldn't do what I told you, the simplest thing. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Why do you keep lousing everything up? So therefore, the point, verse 11, but my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would have none of me. They didn't want anything. How can that be? Because we're content with our state of mind and heart. Verse 12, I gave them up unto their own lust, their own heart from, I gave them up their own heart's lust. And they walked in their own counsels. I let them live their life the way they wanted to do it. Go live it. Go live it. Go do what you're going to do. Go do it. Don't bother me again. That isn't true, but hang on. Now, so there we are. Now, so now we've got to go a little further. Verse 13. Oh, that my people had hearkened to me, and Israel had walked in my ways. Verse 14, I should have soon subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. I would have given them wonderful, wonderful success. Verse 15, the haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, and their time should have endured forever. Verse 16, underline, he should have fed them, would have fed them with the finest of the wheat and with the honey out of the rock. Should I have satisfied thee? I waited for you to catch up. I told you, I'm going to give you the finest of wheat and honey. I'm not just going to have bread, you're going to have some jelly on it. Do you understand? Honey, sweet, you don't need it, you're going to do it. But you didn't let me do it. And that's the admonition to my heart and yours. Am I going to be so stubborn to sort of sit and keep going down the corridor as I am and die? Or am I going to go look to God? And God, thank you. Spirit of God, open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. Our Father and God, we thank you for your word, your work, your grace. God, we can't ask it for any better. We can't fix it in any way. All we can do is say, God, we confess our stupidity and stubbornness. And God, you got to help us. So we're looking to you to help us in every way, that God, we'd have the advantage now, have the advantage on tomorrow, in tomorrow, and have the advantage, God, looking and waiting in a very active, flourishing, profitable way, practical way for your soon coming. And our God, we're going to thank you in all of it, for all of it, in every way. God, thanks a lot. In Christ's name, amen.